This is the season of giving, right? Usually there is a lot of giving on Christmas. Valentine's, birthdays, special days, anniversaries, usually. They was going to get together for our 55th wedding anniversary, and they was talking about whether they ought to bring presents or not. I just told them, I said, no, just save it till my 75th and bring diamonds. That'll be all right. But we do think about giving on days and our seasons like this. There's a lot of emphasis put on it, but there's one gift that is above all, and really the only one that's important, isn't it? And that is the gift that God gave, which was His Son, Jesus Christ. I'd just like to read out of Luke chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Notice the great detail that is given here. The scripture is very accurate, isn't it? It is very precise. And especially is it precise when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no flaw in it, is it? It happened just exactly, not only as it should, but when it should. So we're thankful that the scripture is reliable, isn't it? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And let me pause here for just a second and note this, that there'll be a lot of Christmas cards go out this year that's going to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's a perversion of the scripture, isn't it? It's not what it says. It says on earth peace. Not peace on earth. You say, well, what difference does it make? Well, it makes all the difference in the world, because Jesus himself said, I come not to bring peace, but a sword. As far as the world is concerned, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But there is peace on earth, and his name was Jesus. The only peace that there is in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as man is concerned. So don't get that mixed up. That's a false hope that the world has in its thinking as far as Christ is concerned and as far as God is concerned. Never intended for there to be peace on this earth. There will be peace in the world to come. Why? Because there will be no sin. Because righteousness will prevail. And suddenly there was with the angel again a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We could continue to read, of course, but we'll stop right there, because the point that I hope that we'll make this afternoon is this concerning Jesus. He is the gift, isn't he? There is no other gift, really, and certainly no greater gift. John 3:16, of course, makes this announcement. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? He gave. There is the gift. I know we think, again, many times, at least casually, about Jesus. We think about God. We think about many things. But I wonder how many times and how often, really, that we really, really stop and consider the one gift the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many times we want things, and I wonder how many things that we want. I'm reminded, of course, of Mary and Martha, and Jesus is sitting and he is teaching the people. Martha is cumbered about with what? Much care about many things. And she was complaining because Mary was not helping her. Lord, and I'm paraphrasing this, but you know the story. Lord, why don't you make Mary help me? I'm just doing all this by myself. And what was the Lord's answer? Mary hath desired that one necessary thing. And what is the rest of it? And it shall not be taken from her. How many times ought we, in the desiring of things, ought we to stop and consider what God has given to us in the person of the Lord Jesus? What a great gift this is, and it is a gift. It is not something that you can purchase. It's really not even something, regardless of what they're telling us today, it's really not something that you can even ask for initially. Now we do. After God gives unto us that gift, in other words, when He gives that knowledge of Christ to us in our hearts, we do ask after Him, don't we? But He is the gift of the Father to all that believe. But again, and don't misunderstand, is it good to give to one another? Certainly it is. It's more blessed, really, isn't it? That's right, work. Steal no more, right? It's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Steal no more, that you may but work with your hands that thing which is good, that you may have to give to them that have not. And again, the Apostle Paul tells us over in 1 Timothy, rather, chapter 6, right? Be willing to do what? Distribute. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Not talking about, you know, that we ought not give. Not your own. Seek another man, the other man's wealth, and not your own. We have all of these admonitions, but what does that have to do with us wanting? That's where the problem comes in, you see. It's not in the giving, but it's in the wanting. But with our God and our Lord, our Savior, so many times we want. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. When He's already given us the Lord Jesus Christ, and my Bible says that if He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, what else is He going to give us? What does Romans chapter 8 say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him what? Freely give us all things. But what are the all things that He's talking about here? He's talking about all things that's necessary for our salvation. He's not talking about just things in general, is He? Because He's already told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added to you. In other words, again, at God's discretion, according to His wisdom, and according to His purpose in Christ Jesus, He will give us all the things that we need. But what we need to do is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's what I mean when I say when Christ comes into our hearts, we begin to seek after Him. In other words, again, we follow Him. We follow Him. Taking up our cross, we follow Him. Why should God be so concerned, so much concerned with my physical well-being? Why should God be so concerned with my material well-being? Can you imagine To some degree, I know you can't, really, because you've never been there. You don't know it yet. You will one of these days, as we talked about this morning. And we do, I believe, to a degree. Now, we must, to a degree now. But can you visualize, to some degree, the glory that Christ had with the Father from eternity? Now, in our text this morning, what did we read in John chapter 17? And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With what? With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Can you visualize for a moment a little bit of what that glory was that Christ had before the world was? Well, we know this, that He was God. Whatever the Father was, Jesus was, Christ was, right? What did you pray in your prayer this morning, Brother Dale? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Before Abraham was, I am. And that's what God told Moses to tell to the people of Israel. And to, you know, whom shall I say sent me? Tell them that I am sent you. So we know that the glory that Christ had with the Father before the world was, He was God. Well, what is your point? My point is that He left, right? He left that glory which He had with the Father before the world was, and He gave it up, right? He counted it not to be shunned, right, sir? Yeah. But He left that glory. He left that glory. And what did He say? The birds of the air have what?
Nest,
and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Now, my point again is this. If the Father was not so concerned about the physical and or the material comforts of His only begotten Son, why should He be so concerned about mine? And in fact, why should I be so concerned about it? He has given me His Son, and shall He not with Him freely give me all things? And going one step further than that, seeing as how He is going to give unto us the kingdom, why should we be so concerned now about our physical and material well-being? It still stands, then, that for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If we would contemplate, I believe, this great gift of God's Son, how much more contented might we be in this world? And how much less contention might there be in this world? What more do you want? Anything else besides the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is more than likely provoked by carnality anyway. I believe it is good for us to contemplate yes, the birth of Christ, but how much more so is it important that we contemplate the life, the death, and the resurrection? The reason that Christ must be born is not for His birth's sake, but for His life, His death, and His resurrection's sake. Because He couldn't live until He was born, or unless He was born, or I guess I say should properly say, until He was born, because He was going to be born, wasn't He? He could not die until He was born, but He could not rise again from the dead until He died. And in so doing, He became the Savior of all them that believe. What more do you want? Be thankful for every gift that you receive, no matter how large or how small. But never try to compare anything that you receive, any gift that you receive, with that one gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contemplate on that, and I believe your life will be much more blessed. Amen.